Welcome to the Risen Nation podcast. I pray that you are encouraged today, edified, and most importantly, that you experience Jesus in a brand new way. Can I give you guys a quick word?
Yes.
Are you hungry?
Yes.
You guys know it? Know the Bible already?
No.
You want to know more?
Yes.
Do we want to? Listen, we don't want to know the letter. We want to know Jesus, who is the word. Amen? So without me, I want to encourage you guys, without me really even realizing it, I believe with all my heart that last week's message on trees of righteousness, how many of you guys were blessed last week? I want to encourage you guys to go and listen to that again. It was very much a teaching. It was very much something that we need to study even more. But I believe that was prophetic for the events that occurred this week. And it's so important. You know, we started last week with Jesus' encounter with Peter in Matthew 16 of he is not mindful. Remember, Jesus rebukes Peter and says, "Get behind me, Satan. You're not mindful of the things of heaven, of the things of the spirit, but you're mindful of things of earth." So now more than ever, we have to be mindful of the things of heaven, of the things of the spirit. Now more than ever, we have to be rooted and grounded in love, rooted and grounded like trees of righteousness in the spirit, unwavering. Say unwavering. No matter what comes our way, God is after a people that are unwavering. Today, I want to talk about something that's burning on my heart, and I want to preface it by saying this. I am very much for altar calls. Amen? I'm very much for the moves of God and the moves of the Spirit. We can't do anything without it. Otherwise, it's just our strength. I'm very much for going after miracles, going after healing, going after signs and wonders, and we're going to do it. I've talked with the leaders. I want to set aside a regular time. You know, Apostle William brought this word on getting the environment ready, an environment of honor for his presence. And I want to set aside, I don't know if it'll be once a month or once a quarter or whatever the frequency will be, but we're going to set aside times and services on Sunday morning where we're going to come here and we're going to worship and we're going to believe for bodies to be healed. We're going to come and worship and we are going to lay hands on the sick. We're going to cast out demons. We're going to do it all and we're going to believe that lives are going to be changed. And I'm going to tell you in advance, this is what we're coming to doing. This is what we're coming to do. This is why we are gathering. So there is an expectation. So there is a stirring in our spirit of this is why we are gathering. I have been convicted of that even before the assembly that we're going to prepare a table for the Holy Spirit and let him do what only he can do. Amen? And so that being said, I believe if we make a move of God about chills and falling over, I'm purposely not looking at my notes because I want to follow the Lord, and I believe, can I just speak from my heart today? You know, I don't want to make, even though I'm going to bring him up, but I don't want to make this whole service about Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk was a vessel of God, and he was a martyr like Stephen was, and I believe that with all my heart, but our mission hasn't changed. What we're going for hasn't changed. Amen? And so I believe we had a week to kind of mourn and cry and be upset and get it out of our system. And now it's time to go to work. I said, now it's time to go to work. Like Pastor Chris said, it's time to go to war. And so we desperately need moves of God. Say amen.
Amen.
But if the move of God stays in the sanctuary, it's not a move of God. We need altar calls. But you know what? I've seen people that have had demons cast out of them. 2 weeks later, they got another demon. I've seen people that are healed and slain in the spirit and shaking on the ground, and God did a mighty work in them. And the next week, they're the same. And they're still being a jerk to their wife. And so unless the altar call is not unto change, unless our encounter with God is not unto becoming like him, then it's an event. And so we do not need just more moves of God the way that we've known them. We need people like in Acts chapter 2, those in the upper room that you guys realize in Acts chapter 2, and I know I'm just offending religion right now, but we're just going to do it. You know, in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came like the sound of a mighty rushing wind, no one really knew about it. Like the area continued on. The region, the world around it, think about it, continued on. The only thing they knew is, I hear a sound and it sounds like my language. So that's, we'll get to that later in the series, but the move of the Spirit at that time was unto this mystery of the ages, this fellowship of the mystery. See, we miss this part. We've made it about Pentecost, and we've made it about laying hands on the sick, and we've made it about moving in miracles, and that's amazing. But the upper room, what happened there was unto what Paul calls the fellowship of this mystery that the Gentiles can receive Jehovah to. The whole thing was unto that. That they can hear, that's the only manifestation that the outside of that upper room experienced. But inside the upper room, they experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And what they experienced in their room came out of the room. Yeah. Amen. And in a matter of weeks, 8,000 souls come to the Lord through the apostles that experienced something in this small room. So we cannot just, you know, say the world needs Jesus. Of course the world needs Jesus, but who is the representation, the witnesses of him in the earth? There's no other witness here. That's right. Come on. If you guys saw Jesus in the flesh at Kroger, please let me know. But as far, I believe that he is seated at the right hand of the Father, amen? And so he's given us to be witnesses. He's made us witnesses of his resurrection. You guys know that doesn't mean that you saw him be raised from the dead. Witnesses of his resurrection. Has anyone died to their old self? Have you been crucified with Christ? Is your the way you were before you were saved, are you that way anymore? Are you still doing the same things? Do you still think the same way? Then you are witnesses of the resurrection. You have experienced the resurrection of Jesus Christ in your life. He died, we died with him, that just as Christ, Romans 6 says, was raised from the dead, we also should walk in newness of life. What the world needs is not more services. I'm kind of over services. What the world needs is witnesses of the resurrection. Listen, I am, we need boldness to say, listen, I am a living testimony of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about his resurrection. The entire gospel is based on the resurrection. If you end it at the crucifixion, it's incomplete. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, living, breathing, moving in a people, is what the world needs. And so if we have altar calls, but we're not changed, listen, we have to be changed, transformed by the renewing of our mind. Amen? And I'll say this about Charlie Kirk. The Lord gave me this verse for him in 2 Corinthians 13:8. How many of you remember when Paul says, you can't do anything against the truth, but for the truth? And I thank God that he is a man that spoke the truth. We need more people that speak the truth. There's too many Christians that are trying to walk in love, and they're actually walking in the opposite of love, because love speaks the truth. So we need bold people that are not afraid unto death to speak the truth. And I just want to let all the powers and principalities know. Do you guys realize that the powers and principalities are scared of you? Do you guys realize that the enemy is terrified of you? Especially when we're in settings like this. He's terrified because he cannot come against the body. He can come against your mind and he can lie to you and try to separate you. But when the body comes together, he has no power. Zero. And so we're putting the powers and principalities and the demons of hell on notice that you only strengthen the truth. That you only sent the truth further. You can't do anything against it. Everything that you do against the truth only works for it. So we must walk in truth. The sanctification of our mind, Peter says, is by obeying the truth. And I also want to say this. I wrote this down because I think it's important to address it. As the head of this house, I want to make sure that we make our calling and election sure. Amen? But I am, how many of you know that we are proponents, and I have taught for years, that heaven is not a place that you go, but heaven is a life that you live. And so we believe that heaven is not a place that we can put in our GPS and hang a left at Pluto and I'll see you in heaven. But heaven is an experience. Heaven is a life. I do want to say this, though, that beyond the shadow of a doubt, Paul says that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So I want to encourage everybody in this room that there's a reason why Paul says to die is gain and to live is Christ. Like, there is a real true reality when you die called heaven, and it's way better than you could ever imagine. That's why when people, there's stories of people going to heaven and coming back, they don't want to come back. And so I want to encourage those in the room and those watching online that to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. And we believe that we are present with the Lord now as well. Say amen. But there is something so amazing, so encouraging, so life-giving to know that you will never die. Because I think a lot of people like had wake-up calls today and started, or this week, and started thinking about their life. But I just want to tell you, you will never, ever, ever die. That you will live on. And what's amazing is that you're not just going to be floating on clouds, but the Holy Spirit, the Father himself, will give you a new assignment on the other side. You will never die. Your purpose will never end. Purpose is eternal. Your purpose is eternal. And so Charlie Kirk's work doesn't end. And I believe, like what I've been seeing online, that they're just going to be a million Charlie Kirks with the boldness that, and listen, and I think it's important that we don't give ourselves excuses anymore and say things like, we're not eloquent enough, or say things like, you know, I'm not good in front of people, or we give ourselves excuses. Listen, what made him popular was how brilliant he was. Like, let's talk about some practical things. You guys want to change the world, right? Like, we need to get back to the basics. We need to get back to the practical things that capture people's hearts. So it's important, and I'm speaking to all of our leaders as well. If you guys want to lead, we have to be good communicators. If you guys, and I don't mean preaching, I mean if you want to lead in your businesses, if you want to lead in your workplaces, if you want to share the gospel, how we communicate is almost just as important as what we are communicating. And so what made Charlie Kirk amazing is his ability to articulate in a brilliant way and the sharpness of his mind to articulate truth. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that you raise up a generation that doesn't just know information, doesn't just know the truth, but we know how to articulate it for the right time in the right moment. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said amen. Jesus said, when I throw you, when they persecute you, and they come after you, and they're accusing you, don't worry about what you're going to say. I'm going to fill your mouth. And so we need a generation that doesn't just have information. I really don't want to preach to you any more information. I need us to become what we're hearing. I said, I need us to become what we're hearing. The Bible has no power unless we learn to live it. If the Bible becomes text, it is, the word says that the letter kills. It's actually will cause death. It'll actually make you go the opposite way if you're trying to get information. But if you were trying to become the Word, if you're trying to have an encounter with God, with Jesus, who is the Word of God made flesh, amen? Then we must become what we read. Our church services have no power unless they lead to lasting change. Our messages have no power unless they lead to transformation. And I want to say this, it's important to know, and this is where we're going to go today, it's important to know that miracles, signs, and wonders are not the mission. It really rocks Pentecostals when I say that. Miracles, signs, and wonders are not, say not, are not the goal. Miracles, signs, and wonders are not the end. People think when we have people and the Spirit of God is moving and people are flying and shaking and demons are being cast out, that's the king, that is like the culmination. No. Read scripture. That's the beginning. It begins there. So I'm contending for the power of God. Say amen. I believe in 2026 we are going to see a demonstration, and I'm prophesying, and I pray that you can agree with me and pull it out of my spirit. But there is a power of God coming to this church like we have never noticed. There is a manifestation of heaven coming to our lives. Listen, and I'm believing, like, even when my sweet little Chloe, like every person that has the tiniest boo-boo, she will run to them and pray for them. And she makes sure that I know, Bubba, I prayed for Lily's boo-boo. I prayed for mommy's boo-boo. And I pray in Jesus' name that when she prays, lives are going to be healed, that bodies are going to be healed, that even small things, like when I prayed for my wife this morning, we just had a simple prayer. She woke up with a headache. Like, I want it to be gone in that instant. And so we are contending for power. But listen, power is not just miracles, signs, and wonders. Power is not just ability and strength and dunamis and yeah, let's rah, rah. If you look up the word dunamis, go down a little bit. It's excellence of soul. Say excellence of soul. The beginning of power is the strength. Where power ends is excellence of soul. If we want to change the world, we must have this excellence of soul. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in, say it again. Kingdom of God is not in word, but in excellence of soul. So what does that mean? Does anyone want to know? Turn to John chapter 9. I have a water somewhere. Are you guys hungry this morning? Yes. Are you guys happy? Yes. Full of joy? Yes. Rejoicing? Yes. Amen? Yes. You know, we serve a good God. Yes. We serve a good Father. Yes. Like, no matter how deep and dark and depressing and lonely it gets, He's always better. Like, He always brings us back to Himself. And so John 9, I'm just going to kind of give you a quick synopsis. How many of you remember when the man that was blind from birth, Jesus spits in dirt, turns it into clay, and lays it on his eyes? How many remember this story? So all of John chapter 9, the beginning part, is about this story of this man receiving his sight. The Pharisees don't know what to do with him or Jesus, so they excommunicate this man from church, from the temple, and they question him. They question his parents. His parents' answer always makes me kind of giggle a little bit, because they're like, he's a grown man, ask him. And they come to him and they're like, well, what did you do? Did you have sin in your life? Why were you blind? You know, why did he pray for you on the Sabbath? And all the religious stuff that we want to always figure out, right? Like, we want to know a formula of, like, how God moves all the time. And this blind man has this profound statement, and he says, I don't know. All I know is that today I woke up blind and now I can see. And so this is the type of power that the Holy Spirit wants to release, I believe, in this hour, is this unexplained. Like, you can't communicate this. This has to just become something you experience. But I want to show you something. That when Jesus heals his eyes, he says that he got up in the beginning. Trust me, it's there. Just read it on your own time. We don't have a lot of time. In the beginning of chapter 9, just read all the John chapter 9 when you can. Jesus heals him and leaves. And he says, he gets up, he can see, and it says that Jesus left. So Jesus just heals him and leaves. And then he's questioned by the Pharisees, by his parents, by the community, and he's excommunicated, and he's like, I didn't do anything. I can see now. What do you want me to do about it? And so, but I love how Jesus finds him again. This is so like our Father that he'll find you to explain. And so a lot of times in the Christian circles, we want an encounter from God. And that's good. But John chapter 9, we'll see that what will change you is not an encounter from God or an experience from God. What changes you is an experience with Him. There's a difference. And we've created a culture that is satisfied for encounters with Him. Spit in the mud, clay on the eye, and leave. And Jesus comes back and He talks to this man who can now see and gives him an encounter with God. So we can have an encounter from God, but it's not necessarily with God. Does that make sense? Because like I said, I've seen it. For those of you that don't know, my uncle is Benny Hinn. I've seen a lot of healing. I've seen a lot of people being, you know, falling out. I've seen a lot of jackets whipped. I was in a section where he was worshiping with his suit on, and he turned around, and it was like a small section like this. I was in the section, and I was doubting, and I wasn't even worshiping. I was talking to my cousins about Pokemon or something, and we were kids, and we were talking. We're not even paying attention, and next thing I know, I'm on my face bawling in the corner. So don't tell me it's not real. The Holy Spirit can move beyond what we can fathom. And so I've seen it my entire life. I've encountered it. When my father ordained me, I felt like he put, first of all, I bought this beautiful gray suit. And I was so excited about it. And it was like the most money I've ever spent on a suit. It was like custom fitted. I was so excited. And so I go to the service. My dad's going to ordain me. Like, was this before or after we got married? I can't remember. Anyways, I should probably know when I was ordained. I think it was before, yeah. And I just remember he calls me to the front, and then I see the bowl of oil. I was like, oh boy. It's like, all right, so maybe I can sell this on Marketplace. And I'm just not in the anointing at all. I'm like, this was expensive, Bubba, please. And first thing he does is he takes like literally just a cup full of oil and slaps oil all over my shoulders. I still have the jacket. I can't get rid of it. It's like a keepsake. Thank you. It's in my closet, but it's just covered with oil. It's like my dad's handprints and then just drips of oil down my beautiful jacket. And, but I felt like my whole body was being pushed into the earth, and there was a weight after that I can't explain. And so that was an encounter with God. So I know what encounters with God are like. I've been there. I've done it. But you know what? Even after that encounter, I've acted like a jerk. Even after encounters with God, I've still acted the same. And so we think that this move of the Spirit and power is the pinnacle of ministry. It's the beginning of ministry. Look at all throughout Scripture, the healing and the power and the signs and the miracles were unto someone believing. And then they had to be taught. They had to learn. They had to be discipled. They had to walk in. Let me tell you what you just encountered. And so we can have all the falling out we want, but unless we encounter Him, it's going to be a religious exercise. I want an encounter with Him. I want an experience with Him, an experience and encounters with Jesus. You cannot leave the same. Because the anointing is without repentance. The gifts are without repentance. So you can be hands laid on by a powerful man of God that is in sin. And the Holy Spirit is faithful, and He is just, and He is true, and He is merciful, and He will move through the vessel. All that I am is a vessel. All that Benny Hinn is, William Hinn, all the Hinns, let me just sum it all up, the Koulianoses, Todd Whites, we're vessels of the Holy Spirit. And so you're not getting something from us. He is using us despite if we deserve to be used or not. So it's His mercy. It's His way of introducing, like, hey, I see you. I love you. I'm merciful towards you. This is the beginning of the gospel. So I want to change our thinking. You know, I don't want to say that. But I want us to be, next year, a higher place than we are right now. I want us to be in 10 years... astronomically higher place than where we are right now. I don't want to be in the same place. And I don't need, you know, I don't mean financially. Like, we always take that, like, if we, you know, we're loaded, we're doing something right for the kingdom. No, you have a billionaire donor in your church, and that helps. Like, spiritualizing everything. Okay. John 9, I mean, I would welcome. Billionaires, just want to say that. We welcome you in Jesus' name. All right. I have a vision for a building. I need a billionaire for it. Make that clear. All right. John chapter 9, verse 35, it says, Jesus heard that they cast him out. So I love the heart of Jesus where he heals the guy, leaves, but he's sticking around. Like, he's wanting to find out. Like, his mind is still on this man. And he said he heard about him, that he was cast out. And when he had found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? So he was healed, had no idea who Jesus was. And Jesus said, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. And then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come to this world, that's for separation, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be blind. Speaking of the Pharisees. And some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? And Jesus, I love his answer. He says, if you were blind, you would have no sin. In other words, you need to recognize your blindness. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. And so it's an encounter with Jesus that will change everything. I said it's an encounter with Jesus that'll change everything. Everything. So the kingdom of God, write this down, is not just the miraculous, but it is the miraculous life. The kingdom does not come in word, but in excellence of soul. Dunamis is force, miraculous power, ability, strength, and excellence of soul. So the kingdom of God is not just the miraculous, but it is the miraculous life. Amen? You guys got that? You want me to say it again? The kingdom of God is not just the miraculous, but it is the miraculous life. And I believe, as we turn to Acts chapter 1, I believe that what we need in this season more than ever before is God's wisdom. Say wisdom. It's amazing. I almost brought this word, or a part of it, I should say, on Wednesday night. Pastor Janine got up and prayed and basically preached the message. And so I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. Amen? Acts chapter 1, we're going to start reading in verse 4. So let me just preface by saying, so we have this in our minds as we're hearing the word today. And it's not going to be long. So I need everyone focus, right? All right. Wisdom is not just knowledge. We know this, right? Everywhere you look up wisdom, whether it's a Hebrew word, whether it's a Greek word, and there's a lot of variations of it, it all kind of boils down to this word, skillful. Say skillful. We need Christians, sons and daughters of God, that are skillful. So it kind of narrows down to this skill. And so wisdom, in a nutshell, my definition, is not knowledge, it's what you do with your knowledge. It's not information, it's the skill to use the information. And so I've met people that are way smarter than me. A lot of them. Most people are. I'm not very smart. I've met people that are way smarter than me, but I've met very few people that are as, and I'm just saying, this is all the Lord, say the Lord, that are as wise. Because it's not just the information you know, it's how you use the information you know. It's not just what you know, it's the skill by which you use it for the advancement of the kingdom of God in your life. Amen? So when I look for leaders, I don't look for the most polished intellectual. I don't look for degrees. Have I ever asked any of our leadership what degrees you have? I don't look for your Bible college. What I look for are wise. We're going to learn what wise-hearted means in this series. I look for wise-hearted leaders that in situations, like I look how, first of all, how do they worship? How do they pray? Are they on fire for God, or they have an agenda? And I've been around ministry since I was a baby, and I can sniff it out from a mile away if someone has an agenda. I look for, how do you interact with others? Maybe somebody you're talking to that you disagree with. Wisdom is, I can communicate in love with this person, and I completely disagree with everything they're saying. And I can correct in love. Wisdom is, how do we interact with our peers? How do we interact with our wife? What do we do with this word? Have we become what we're hearing? This is wisdom. Wisdom at the core is the mind of Christ. It's how he thinks. It's his life. Christ is the power of God, Corinthians says, and what? The wisdom of God. So we have to have his power and the wisdom to walk out what we've heard. Amen? So Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God. For Acts chapter 1, we're going to start reading in verse 4. And it says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them to not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. So for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. I pray for a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, verse 6, when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? I feel like a lot of Christians ask God this week the same question, maybe in different words. Lord, what are you going to do about this situation? You know, people say things like, we need Jesus, and we do need Jesus. Say amen. But other than Jesus splitting the sky and coming back, the way that Jesus is going to work is in you. The incarnate word of God is not walking the earth anymore except through you. What witness will we be? So they're telling Jesus, like, they don't realize what just happened. He says, I want to send the promise of the Father. You're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Like, this is insane. They're not realizing what he's talking about. The only thing they can think about is Rome not controlling them anymore. The only thing they can think about is, God, what are you going to do? Can you come and send a revival? Send it from where? I am revival. Can you come and deal with the evil and deal with the wicked? Lord, we need you to do it, and we do. But there's a way in which he moves. There's a way in which he establishes his kingdom on the earth. And Jesus said it, and we tend to miss this verse a lot. The kingdom does not come by observation, but the kingdom is within you. So everything God's going to do from his kingdom to earth happens in you first and through you. We know this, right? And so the disciples are saying, Lord, were you going to give us the kingdom of Israel back? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. In other words, I am. Don't worry about that part of it. I got that under control. But you shall receive power. You want the answer? It's in you. What the world needs is in you. What Democrats need is in you. What your family needs is in you. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Somebody say amen. So we desperately need a move of God in our nation and the world. But if the move stays in the church, there won't be anybody that knows about it or cares. So the word witness is the word, like we saw this week, is the word martyr. It's the word record. It's the word witness. Let me tell you that though we haven't physically been martyred, this room is full of martyrs because we've given our life for the gospel of Jesus Christ, given our life for the advancement of his kingdom. We are witnesses to his resurrection. I taught this, I believe, a few Easters ago, but I think we need a reminder. Though having not seen his resurrection, we were there. The word clearly states that when he was raised, you were raised with him. So when he was raised from the dead, you were there. Think about yourself. Not Christians as a whole, not the body as a whole. You were there. You were crucified with him in weakness. You died to yourself. You were quickened with him, and you were raised with him, and you are currently now, not tomorrow, not when Jesus comes back, not when the millennium is done in Revelation. You are now seated with him in heavenly places. The kingdom of God is now filling the earth, and it's filling the earth through you. The kingdom of God is here. It's not here. It's not Jerusalem. Like, there are people, and Lord bless them, let their eyes be open, that believe that a literal stone city called Jerusalem is going to fall from heaven and land on the Mount of Olives in Israel. God help us. This is why we have no power. That's got real quiet in here now. I'm not coming against anybody. I'm hurting for the bride. Because this is why we have no power. Jesus says that you are the witness of my resurrection. The kingdom of God is in you, that we may have this mystery from that has been hidden from the ages. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we have people talking about when Jesus is going to come back. And he said that no one will know the hour or time. We actually also think about that we're going to be able to recognize him. When he came after the resurrection the first time, nobody recognized him. He wants his kingdom to come alive in you. He wants his reign and his rule. You, listen, we are the millennium reign, the thousand-year reign in Revelation. A thousand speaks of one head, Jesus Christ, and many zeros. It speaks of a company of people. It speaks of a platoon, an army of heaven. Is there an army of heaven in the room? It speaks of a time when the sons of God will rule. Psalms 82:6, we know it. I say it. I quote it all the time. The world is off course. Risen Nation, do you know why the world is off course? Because we haven't had this experience with, don't you know? Have I not said you are gods and children of the Most High? What are we doing? We ask God for help, and he says, I've given you help. We ask God for wisdom. I've given you wisdom. We ask God for the kingdom. I've given you the kingdom. It's in you. It's through you. There's no other representation of Jesus on the earth right now except what I see in this room. Think about it. He's not going to come and save us. He did. It's in the Bible. Like, I'm not preaching something that's not in here. He saved us. He redeemed us. Now, yes, I believe we will experience a coming of the Lord in the fullness of his glory. Absolutely, I experience. And we're going to rule and reign with him on the earth. But to think that you know what that's going to look like is really naive. Amen? So we need people that believe. Like, I wake up believing that, you know, my wife and I moved to an apartment complex. We're building a house, and it's not done yet, and so we're in an apartment complex for 5 months, praise God. And I wake up believing that in that entire apartment complex, if there the kingdom of God was going to be consolidated to one apartment room, it would be mine. Okay. It has nothing to do with me. I've died to myself, but we have to have this type of mentality that I believe that if there is an answer in the world, Pastor Josh has the answer. If there is a question, that we have the answers. Like, if there is any church, listen, I'm not, the kingdom of God is at Mercy Culture. The kingdom of God is at Keystone. Yes, amen. The kingdom of God is at Gateway. The kingdom of God is at every church. But I don't know those people. I know you, and I'm looking at living, breathing pillars in the temple of God. You are the new Jerusalem. We're not waiting for a new people. We're not worshiping. Oh, Lord, help me. So many Christians worship Netanyahu and modern Israel. Lord, this is getting me in big, big, big trouble. You are God's chosen people, and they are too, but we've been grafted in. That means you're the same. There's no difference. You've been grafted in. You look the same in Jesus. This is the fellowship of the mystery that Paul talks about, that even the Gentiles would have salvation. Even the Gentiles would be saved. That even the Gentiles are chosen. The Jews believed. Paul was writing this to Jews who believed that they were chosen and everyone else was an outcast. And he says, no, they're chosen too. You are the new Jerusalem. So when Jesus comes back, he's going to come in you first. When the kingdom of God comes, it's going to come through you first. He does nothing in the earth without a man, without a vessel. He's given the earth to men. And even when we fell, read Genesis. And I know the theologians always will argue this point. Read Genesis. We never lost our dominion. Not once. He gave us the earth and he never took it back. And he says, the earth is man's. I've given it to them, but I'm going to flood this earth with my glory as the waters cover the sea. And I'm going to have a glory in the earth, and it's not going to be fire from heaven. My glory in the earth is going to be a people in the earth that are the walking, breathing manifestation of the kingdom of God, that believe what the word says about them, that have died enough to ourselves, that when I live, it is Christ who lives in me. We need to come to terms with what's in us. We're looking for exterior all the time. Come to terms with what is in me. We are witnesses to his resurrection. And so we're looking for outside answers. We're looking for outside people. We're looking for outside wisdom. When God says that we are the manifold wisdom of God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. And we didn't get through much, but can I get some keys up here? We'll have to continue next week with the rest of this, but remember, wisdom is not the information, it's what we do with the information. Ephesians 3, chapter 8, verse 12. It says, to me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God, this is why he did it. This was his intent and his goal, that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church or through the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose. This is not something God did last minute. This is his eternal purpose. Say eternal purpose. Imagine that. The eternal purpose. Say eternal. Eon, for ages and ages and ages, that's what it means. The eternal purpose of God was that he would put the powers and principalities on notice through his church. And we are here, weak, desperate, broke, not us, just Christianity as a whole, ineffective. We have pastors that won't even say anything about Charlie Kirk. We have pastors that won't speak the truth, because they are afraid to lose people in their church. They want to stay neutral. They want to stay equal. They want to stay on everybody's side. And in the process, they're extremely ineffective, and they're only working for the truth. Whatever they do, it's for the truth. And we're waiting for Jesus to come back. We're arguing about eschatology. We're arguing about what the Lord is saying. He's speaking to everybody. He's saying different things to everybody. There's no order. There's no leadership. There's no submission. There's no body. Is anyone else frustrated? It's just me. We're not doing anything. We're not being effective. Maybe. We've had all the church services. We've had everybody laid out on the floor to where I'm jumping from. I used to catch from my dad in California, and I would jump from person to person, from solar plex to solar plex, to try and get to the person that he's praying for. And I'd knee people in the head, and it's chaos, and God is moving, and people are being touched. We've seen it all. There's got to be more. I said there's got to be more. We can have the greatest move of God in this building unless it erupts out of this building through a people like a volcano. We'll come next week. There's a building over here, and they were kind of rude to us, but God bless them. Berkshire Hathaway, Use Call It Close. Call Costi Hinn for all your home needs. No, just kidding. That was a joke. Please don't. Berkshire. That was a joke. Berkshire Hathaway, you know, I've never talked to them. You know, they sent kind of a rude email, like, don't park in our spots. And I understand, praise God. Don't park in their spots. You know, I've never talked. They don't know what we believe. I've never talked to the lawyer office over here or the schools back here. You know, and that's on us. They don't have a clue, but we could have the greatest manifestation of the Spirit of God erupt in this place. But unless they know what's going on, unless somehow, and I'm not, this is an example, I'm not saying them specifically, but unless somehow, like I asked our leaders, I want to know the chief of police. I want to know the fire chief. I want to know the mayor. I want to know the city council members. Like, what are we doing? Why don't I know these people? And this is what I've been processing. Like, are we affecting our, you know, I listened to a podcast of a pastor, praise God for him. He's a cessationist, but you know, I disagree with 90% of what he says, but you know, I got to give it to him. He stands every weekend on the corner with people at an abortion clinic and preaches Jesus to them. You know, and we discount people because they think differently than us, and they have a different eschatology than us, and you know, then we excommunicate them, like the Pharisees. We excommunicate them from our life. You know what I started doing? I started listening to my cousin recently, and I'm praying that he watches this because he's a phenomenal teacher. I disagree on a lot of issues, but I pray one day we can do ministry together. Because we need the body to be assembled. And this cessationist church, can we just be raw and real? Like Risen Nation, we've never went and prayed for people at the abortion clinic. And I'm not saying this is what I want. This is an example. Say example. The Holy Spirit will lead us how He wants us to be led. So please don't take this as like a hoorah, go to Kroger and start bugging people and start trying to do a healing service in Kroger, amen? If that is what God has called you to do, great. But what I'm asking is I want us to just take an internal look today. And I'm done. I'm not going to get to any of this. I'm done. But I want us to just take an internal look today of what Pastor Chris opened with. Like, where have we not got our hands dirty? What plow have we not put our hands to that the Holy Spirit is asking us to? And that's not just an evangelism thing. This is not, it's not a message about evangelism, even though we will have evangelism from this house. And people that walk in wisdom, amen, people that are led by the Holy Spirit. The problem is in generations past, evangelism has been led by emotions and wrong convictions, and it does the opposite. So we're gonna train on evangelism. Say amen. And I said that out loud, so we have to do it now. But whatever that looks like for you, in whatever way, I want us to ask the Holy Spirit today, if that means tell people about Jesus at your work, then do that. If it's that person in your mind that they really need to be encouraged, encourage that person. Remember, in making disciples, when Jesus said to go preach to all nations, it also means just one Gentile. It's not nations and governments. It's the Gentile. Say the Gentile. It's one. So it doesn't have to start with a bullhorn in the street. It can start with the one. It can start with that one thing that He has called me to do. If he is asking me to start a business and I've been resisting, I'm gonna start that business. I said, it's time. This is what I'm trying to tell you. However this applies to you, I'm not gonna tell you what to do. However this applies to you, but I'm here to tell you today, it's time. That you are the manifold wisdom of God, and we do not fight flesh and blood. We don't fight Democrats. We don't fight Nancy Pelosi. We don't fight all these wicked, evil people. I mean, they're evil to their core. But we don't fight them. We fight the spirit that is possessing them. We fight the power of the powers and principalities. We don't battle flesh and blood. And so we always must remember this. You know what so blessed me this week? The first time in my life that I've ever seen, and maybe some of you that are older than me can correct me if I'm wrong. I've never seen it. I don't think it's ever happened before. That the White House made a public declaration that Jesus is Lord. I don't know if you saw that on Instagram and Facebook. I mean, they did a tribute to Charlie Kirk and played him like B-roll of him talking in the background, and he's talking about Jesus is the only way. Jesus Christ is the Savior. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Redeemer. And the White House, oh, I'm getting mad. I censored myself, thank you. Biden never did that. You know, and these Christians, forgive me, these pretend sons of God. We've made ministry about everything else. And ministry, the reason we are here is that the kingdom of God may be revealed in the earth. That which is true in heaven must be true on earth. And there's something in you, you specifically, that the powers and principalities need to take notice about. There's something in you that is waiting to be erupted and released. And so this is a spiritual battle. So if God tells you to go to Walmart and pray for people, do it. Praise God. I'm not against that. But I'm saying this is not an evangelism message. This is not about going out there. This is about powers, principalities that need to come down. This is about idols that have lifted up their ugly head to the one true God that need to be destroyed in our nation. This is about lies of the enemy, and you should stand to your feet. This is about lies of the enemy that have lied to our colleges, that have lied to our kids and told them that they can choose whatever gender they are in. This is about a lie of the serpent, the dragon, the devil himself that tells young girls that they can make a decision to have sex with whoever they want. But then they can't make that same, then now they have a decision that it's theirs to kill a baby. You've already made your decision. You got one choice. And so I pray that we live in a nation that stops crucifying and killing innocent babies. I pray that we can have a generation, and this is not gonna come by just teaching people good messages. This change that a man cannot marry a man, that a woman should not be married to a woman. You know, and say what you will, but all these shootings are from transgender people because they're mentally deranged people that need Jesus. They are filled with demons. And unless you call it out, it will continue. And we have pastors that are too afraid to call it out. We need boldness that they are people possessed by the devil and they need to be cast out. Sick, evil, twisted people, and we're playing with the devil because we want to be nice, and it's not walking in love at all. Walking in love is taking your sword out, that is the word of God, and slicing some devils. This is our weapon. I'm not talking about physical violence. This is our weapon. It's time we use our weapon. Stop looking at outside sources. You are God's wisdom. You are the word of God. Come on, you are the kingdom of God in the earth. It's all stored in you for a people for such a time as this. You are a generation that Esther depicts as a queen. This is Holy Spirit. We are the bride of Christ. You are Esther. Your people need you. You are the queen, the bride, his beloved. You've been accepted in the beloved. Our people need us. It's time that we begin to make a difference. Whatever that looks like, give of your time, give of yourself. If you don't know what that means, maybe get into the word more and the Holy Spirit will speak to you. If you don't know what that looks like, it doesn't have to be some crazy thing. It's gonna be, I'm gonna shut the TV off earlier and spend time with my children. They need you too. I'm gonna stop putting my head in my phone for 4 hours a night. I'm gonna stop playing video games. I'm gonna spend time with my wife. I'm gonna take my wife on a date. It could start there. I'm gonna teach my children who may be in the public school system, and I don't know what they're getting indoctrinated with. Listen, I don't know about you, but my kids don't tell me much about children's church. I ask them, they don't give me much information. Your kids may not tell you what they're learning. It's time that we go on the offensive. What are you learning in school? What have you learned? Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about the Bible. And get out of our little circle, and we're tired from work. Get over yourself. Pour into your kids. Pour into your family. Pour into your church. Pour into your community. That's why we are here. I think one of the greatest travesties, if we can leave this earth and go in heaven and have missed opportunities, missed purposes, and we have to redo our purpose on the other side. I want to walk in every single command of God and be obedient to what He has called me to do on this earth now. Not waiting for anyone else or anything else. And listen, this is, I'm just going to reiterate it, because I know, especially the young people, this is not me giving you some motivational speech to tell people about Jesus. We should always be doing that. Like that's the basis. We should always be sharing the gospel and being love. But whatever needs to be trimmed off your life, and we were going to get to this, but we'll maybe get to it next week. Those wise-hearted virgins in Matthew 25, it says they arose and trimmed their lamps. So it's time that we begin to put our house in order. That word trim means to set in order. We need to set in order. So whatever that looks like to you, in whatever context, you know, the Holy Spirit is convicting you right now. Is anyone else convicted? Because I've been convicted all weekend. Whatever that means to you, it's time. I said it's time. So Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for teaching us what it means to walk in wisdom and redeem the time. I declare that you are raising up a people that are the kingdom of God on the earth, that are sons and daughters, that are the body of Christ, that have learned what it means to walk in wisdom. And I thank you, God, that every single one of us will experience the redeeming of our time. That time wasted, God, will be redeemed. That time missed will be redeemed. Thank you, Jesus, that we stop looking at outside sources and begin to look internally. Begin to look at your face, because you've given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. That you are the power of God and the wisdom of God. Give us this wisdom, this living understanding. Give us the ability, Father, to communicate and to live out what we've heard. I pray, Lord, that what is happening at Risen Nation, at Habitation, at Keystone, at every other church, God, will begin to erupt outside of the building, Father. I declare that what Charlie Kirk started in schools, Lord, that he will not have to even physically be there, God, but you are raising up multitudes of Charlie Kirks, God. I thank you, Lord, that revival would hit the most democratic, liberal colleges. I thank you, God, that for the Ivy League schools indoctrinating our young people with garbage, that revival would hit campuses. Come on, that revival would hit high schools. That revival, God, would hit churches in a new way. That revival would hit government buildings. Lord, I pray that even people I see by your Spirit, city council men and women falling on their face in the presence of God. God, I declare that you would encounter your people in this season, Father. But let it come through your church, God. We are here to say we are putting all the powers and principalities and demon on notice, God. Enough is enough, Father. Put us boldness in our hearts. Put your word in our minds. Give us boldness to speak when the Holy Spirit unctions us to speak. Raise up a generation of Esthers, a generation of Daniels, God. Raise up a generation of Ezekiels and Isaiahs that will declare and prophesy even the hard things. Lord, let our nation come to its knees and repent and turn from its wicked ways. Heal our land, God, I pray. Heal our land.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Risen Nation Church. I pray your life was transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. If you want to learn more about our church, you can go to risennation.org or search Risen Nation Dallas on social media. Love you guys.